morning, men. It's funny, the things that you remember from your childhood, yes? One of my fond memories, and I don't know exactly why, I remember my mom and dad piling we four boys into the car one weekend and going over to a bridge somewhere on the intercoastal waterway, I'm not sure where. And then they pulled out a cooler, and my mom took chicken necks and tied long strings to them and gave them to we four boys. And then we hung the chicken necks over the bridge, and then big crabs came and attached themselves to the chicken necks, and then we scooped them up with a net, and that's how we went crabbing. And I suppose we ate them. I don't really remember much beyond that, but it was just such a vivid, vivid memory. We also have spiritual memories that we gather up as children and remember. And one of my most memorable spiritual moments, I was an altar boy. And it was my big day. It was my first day to receive the alms basins from the ushers. I'd never done this before. And I was pretty excited about it. Our church was a little mission church on the campus of Pine Hills Elementary School. It was a wood frame building up on blocks. I think it might have been a portable or some kind of a temporary facility for the school itself. But that's where our little mission church met, and it was summer. And the windows were open, and it was very hot. And I'm wearing the black robe and the little white whatever smock or whatever you call it that goes over that. I'm probably 8 or 9 years old. And I can feel the rivulets of sweat running down my face. Because the windows were open, the gnats were out. And so I'm standing in front of the church going, trying to blow these gnats out of my face. And sweat is dripping down, and I'm waiting to receive the alms basin. And it was one of the great moments of my life. My mom and dad later told me that they were both sitting in the front row. Of course, they were cheering me on, but they were also watching me apparently wobble back and forth, and they were getting ready to try to rescue me from fainting and give me smelling salts or something. But it's interesting how these memories mark us. They become memorials, if you will, of important milestones along our path. And so we're going to explore this morning. We're going to take a passage from Joshua, and we're going to talk about making memorials. The title of the talk is Making Memorials. Dad, what do these rocks mean? We'll look at three big rubrics. The first one is the meaning of memorials, then why they are important, and then how we can make them today. Let's look together at Joshua. The background in Joshua chapter 3, it's a great story. After the Exodus, the Israelites have now been out in the wilderness for 40 years, and it's time for the conquest. It's time for them to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. It's harvest time. The Jordan is at flood stage. They have to cross the Jordan, so the Lord instructs Joshua to have the priests step into the water, and that once they, by faith, take that step into the water, then the Lord will pile up the Jordan River upstream, and the Israelites will be able to cross the Jordan on dry land. And so this takes place. And then once all of the Israelites are across the Jordan, The waters come back to flood stage. And that would be an interesting Bible study all by itself. What I want us to take a look at this morning, though, is what happened next. And that's in Joshua chapter 4. They made memorials. We probably ought to talk about what memorials are before we go any further. Can you imagine what Washington, D.C. would be like if you removed all the statues and all the monuments and all the memorials? What would we have? I think you might even go so far to say that a nation with no history has no future. Perhaps, might be going a little too far. But these memorials are visible reminders. They leave a trail. They make a record. They document what has happened. That's what memorials do. That's the purpose of memorials, to create a visible reminder of something that has happened, significant in the past. And so when we take a look now at Joshua chapter 4, let's keep that in mind. When all the people, from verse 1, crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them to take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan River." When they crossed over, the priests, waters piled up when they stepped into the water, the priests stood in the middle of the riverbed while the people went across. Verse 3, "Tell them to take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up in the place where you will camp tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them to go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord your God. "Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulders, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel." 12 stones. "We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you will tell them, 'They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing where the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever.'" And so they did this and then dropped down to verse 19. "The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. They camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, 'In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever." God does impossible things, yes? When I left business in 1991, for many years I had a dream of living in a home on a lake. And I just assumed that when I left business to go into ministry, that I was leaving every possible worldly pursuit behind. So I assumed that I would never ever, I really did assume that I would never ever again have a nice car. I assumed that I would never ever again have any extra money in the bank. I assumed that I would never ever again be able to travel internationally. And I certainly assumed that I would never ever be able to live on a lake, which had been my lifelong dream. And so I have been very surprised that at the way that my circumstances turned around. You could point to all kinds of temporal reasons to explain it, but I would just like to publicly praise and thank God for it. He's taken care of me. And we live on a lake. It was an amazing thing. And God allowed me to cross over that which had seemed impossible for me to cross over. He made a way. He made a way. And it's a blessing. This little story of the Israelites going across the Jordan, it was not a rescue mission. It was not that God was rescuing the Israelites. No, he was ushering them into the promised land. It was a blessing. It was for a blessing that this took place. And so I made a memorial. I made a memorial of this act of intervention on God's part. And some of you in this room participated in it. Basically, our board of directors and table leaders and the builder of the house and a lady who helped us figure out what color to paint the rooms. We had a dedication ceremony. We made a memorial. And it says on here, dedication of the home of Pat and Patsy Morley. And we had our pastor come. And he put together a brief ceremony of statements that he would make and then responses that the people made. And then he had this prayer of dedication. And so beforehand, I had that drafted up. And then all the people who were involved in the home dedication have signed it down here. And this hangs on the wall in the foyer of our home. This is a memorial. This is, you can hang a plaque on the wall or you can pile 12 stones in your front yard, but it's a memorial. And here's what memorials do. Memorials, they are visible reminders to us of how God has intervened. Memorials are visible reminders that mark the crossover points where God has done the thing that seems impossible. Obvious question, of course, is why are these memorials important? Well, we see in the text a couple of reasons that they are important. First of all, when the kids ask, why are these stones here, Dad? That's a good thing for them to ask because it gives us a chance to remind them and to remind us and to remind the world how God has intervened in our lives. I was with a 30-year-old up-and-coming businessman in this community. I guess it was Wednesday. And we were riding in the car from here over to Brevard County, where I spoke at the Brevard County Prayer Breakfast. And so he was the person who made that happen. So we rode over and back together. This is one of the men that I meet, you know, plenty of guys from around town, but this is one of the men that gives me hope. He's just one of the finest examples of a young Christian businessman trying to make a difference, trying to be a godly husband, trying to be a godly father. And he told me a fascinating story. When he was 9 years old, his father tragically died. And the church, the First Presbyterian Church in downtown Orlando, the church rallied around this young widow and her two children and got involved in their lives and made sure that they were taken care of. And he said that that example anchored me. It was a memorial. And then his mother remarried. She remarried a man who had been a friend of her husband, a man known to this young businessman. And I don't know how many of you are stepdads, but take note, this man, when he became a stepdad, instead of trying to erase the memory of the boy's father, he memorialized the memory of the boy's father. As he was coming up, at key moments, he would explain to this young man what his dad was like, what his dad would have done in this situation, his dad's character. And so today, he has this incredibly well-balanced view of what it means to be a Christian, a dad, a husband, a citizen, businessman. In many ways, because his stepdad made a memorial. He preserved the memory. He created, through word pictures, visible reminders of how God had intervened in the life of his dad. So why are memorials important? Well, here are a few reasons I jotted down. They help us track our progress. A family with a limited history probably has a limited future. That's why I spent so much time trying to... I'll get back to him. That's why I spend so much time trying to... And have pretty much done the project now. But to track my family's history. Since I'm a cycle breaker, I wanted to create a visible reminder for my children and their children and their children and the children's children for generations to come. I wanted to create, through words and stories, a visible reminder of how God has intervened in our lives. A record, if you will, to document how God has intervened in our lives. So one reason is to track progress. Another is... Memorials leave a trail for others to follow. Memorials remind us of God's goodness and his power. Over at verse 24 it says, "He did this so that all the nations might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, powerful. And so that you might revere the Lord your God." And so another reason why these are important is because they create reverence. When you have reminders, I don't remember my confirmation. But I do remember my confirmation Bible. And I keep it on a little table at the entrance to my office. And so, you know, once every 5 years, and this will be that moment, we'll see what pops out. It has a little zipper on it. And I open this up. This thing has been scuffed. I have this vague memory of having this Bible with me in a scooter accident. I can't verify that. So, confirmation Bible, okay? This is a visible reminder that my parents were inviting God to be part of our family, inviting him to intervene in my life. And as it turned out, I got confirmed in the religion, but I didn't get confirmed into the faith, if you understand what I'm saying, at that particular point. But it left a trail for me to follow, being the acolyte, being confirmed. These things left a trail for me to follow. And then these things, these memorials are important because they display God's power. It's no small thing to show the world an example of how God has intervened. The big idea today is memorials. They're visible reminders of how God has intervened. And so now let's talk a little bit about how you can make them. How you can make them. Well, obviously, there are some things that God has done for you that seemed impossible. So one thing you can do is to make memorials at those crossover points. And you might be able to go back and reconstruct some things, as I've mentioned, like I've done. Or as milestones happen, you can make memorials. Don Bonesteel, when they were tearing down our original Bible study location, he was driving by the building, and he stopped and he picked up a piece of the cinder block. And had that made into this memorial, if you will. And it says TGIF Men's Bible Study, which was our original name. And it has a little plaque on it. And then an etching of the signatures of all the guys who were still in the Bible study from the original group. Let's see, who's here? Holbrook? Where's Holbrook today? Yeah, I thought I saw you. Okay. Holbrook. David Holbrook. David Outlaw. Raise your hand, David. Jim Cunningham. Rick Hornbeck. Oh, we have a table leader that's not here today. Okay. Ken Moore. Back here. Raise your hand if you can. Ed Browning, who has gone to be with the Lord. Jim Walden, who now lives up in Cary, North Carolina. Fred Grant, who hasn't been here for a while. And then Don Bonesteel, who now is kind of in and out. These men signed that. And this is a memorial that marks something that it creates a record. It leaves a trail. It helps document what we've done. That, when we did the 20-year celebration, one of the reasons I wanted to do the 20-year celebration is because I believe that an organization that has no history has no future. You have to preserve the stories. You have to give people touch points, touchstones. So, memorials. They're visible reminders of how God has intervened. And so, maybe you make plaques. Maybe you write stories. Maybe you take trips. How many of you have been able to look up and stare at the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel with your families, maybe? What an incredible experience. So you can make memorials with photographs. You can make memorials with video cameras. I know that my father-in-law has made a video with one of his brothers to preserve some of the stories, some of the family stories about how God has intervened in our family. There are other kinds of souvenirs that you can. I remember when I was in one of the spiritual highlights, not exactly a crossover, but a highlight was to be in the Notre Dame Cathedral. And so I lit one of the little candles and blew it out and stuck it in my pocket. And I kept that as a souvenir. And I've got souvenirs, and you probably have souvenirs too, like little things that don't mean anything to anybody else, but they're reminders. They're reminders of how God is part of your life. There are other ways that you can make memorials. That's why we do things like confirmations and baptisms. Gosh, don't you love it when the grandmother pops up out of her seat at the baptism and snaps the flash photo at the baptism? Praise God that she's done that, because she has just made a memorial. I have a picture, I have a photograph of my son, who's now 26 years old. I have a picture of him being baptized. I don't even know who took the picture. But I also know that I wouldn't remember the baptism if I didn't have the picture, if somebody had not made the memorial. So they couldn't take pictures back when they crossed over. It would have been great, you know. It would have been easy to make a memorial back then. Okay, see all these people coming across the river? Just get the national photographer to take a picture, maybe a video, and then you can make a memorial that way. They had to pile up 12 stones. There are lots of ways to pile up 12 stones today. Plaques. Telling the stories over and over again every Christmas when the family gets together. Jot down your thoughts. Record your story. Grab a souvenir. What are the things that you remember from your own childhood? What are the kinds of things that you remember from your childhood? Well, those are exactly the kinds of things that your children are going to remember from their childhood, and your grandchildren and their children. So let's make memorials, visible reminders. Let's leave a trail. Let's keep a record. Let's document how God has intervened in our lives. Yes? Let's pray. Our dearest Father, probably some of us have been making memorials all along. Maybe we've called it that. Maybe we've thought of it in a different way. But Lord, we do see that in Scripture, it is important to you for us to keep a record of the impossible things that you do for us, the ways that you intervene, so that we will have reminders for our children and their children, so that people will see that you are a powerful God, and so that as we are reminded when we look at those stones, that pile of stones, that we also will have reverence, a deeper reverence for you. So, Lord, help us to be men who make memorials. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. It's kind of interesting to, don't you think, to instead of just thinking about, to airbrush out the boundaries of what constitutes a memorial, when you start thinking about it, in broader perspective, the stories, makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah.